Blog Talk Radio.
In much less detail, the podcast on a Saturday night, November 16th, 2013. I'm Dre, he's Jay. NFL week number 11, your picks coming up right here for each and every game because we pick them all, including all the dog games this week, which are all surrounding these three game of the century candidates, and you'll hear them all right here. Jason, we started out with a split pick on Thursday night, and things broke well in your favor after looking like they were going to go for me in the beginning.
Yeah, that's a couple times in the last few weeks that the Colts have pulled one out for me. They did that against Houston a few weeks ago. I got a cheap win on a small spread that we actually thought was had a trap feel to it because of the size of that spread with the Colts. And, of course, they won that by a field goal, gave me a cheap win over you. And then, of course, on Thursday night, Titans are 2.5-point home dogs. They jump out all over the Colts, and the Colts do the exact same thing, and they come back in the second half. They get a cheap 3-point win, and I will take it. I'm not giving it back, especially given my Thursday night record.
Right. No, it counts. I would just say that I don't know how many times Andrew Luck plans to pull this shit. This falling behind and coming back and pulling off these miraculous victories. But I'm looking at that receiving core he has, and I don't think he's going to be pulling that off too much more in the future. When you're relying on T.Y. Hilton and Kobe Fleener and nobody else, he trusted no one else to catch the ball in that comeback win, and the Titans let him use just two guys up and down the field to mount that comeback, polished off by, of course, the best first-round running back that the Colts have on their team, which would obviously be Donald Brown. I mean, who would think Trent Richardson would be the best one? Of course it would be Donald Brown. That makes perfect sense.
Oh, absolutely. I saw that all the way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be like that guy in Yahoo and predict things after they happen.
Right. And you had Indy 30-27, right?
Of course.
A couple of interesting things I wanted to point out before we start our picks this week. Keep an eye on the weather. There's some weather warnings for tomorrow's games that might make it very interesting for several situations out there. It looks like there's going to be some inclement weather in Pittsburgh for that Lions-Steelers game. Looks like Jets and Buffalo will be a little messy. And it's looking like the two cities that are really going to get hit hard by weather will be Chicago and Cincinnati. So keep an eye out for those weather conditions that might affect those outcomes. And one more thing I wanted to point out real quick, that I thought there might be an advantage to be gained by taking the teams, by going against the teams that have not been on a bye yet. This is week 11. There's four teams that have a bye next week. That means they haven't had their bye yet. It's week 11, you'd think it would be dog tired. So I went back and looked the last couple of years. Week 11 last year and the year before would be the latest that people took their byes. So there were four teams playing week 10 in 2012 and 2011. They had not had their bye yet. And folks, don't get it twisted. It's not something to look into as far as taking teams that might be tired to get beat, because those four teams, all of them went 3-1 in both years, 2012 and 2011, straight up and against the spread. So I had a little theory about that, and it didn't turn out so well. Our highlight games, we start this week with the Niners and the Saints. San Francisco actually went into New Orleans last season and beat the holy hell out of the Saints at home, sort of announcing their intent to be one of the better teams in the league. And now they have to rebound off of the loss to the Carolina Panthers last week, that low-scoring 10-9 situation. And they have to go to New Orleans, who's coming off of beating the Dallas Cowboys within an inch of their lives last week on primetime. This isn't primetime, but it's still certainly one of the highlight games of the week. 6-3 San Francisco, 7-2 New Orleans. San Fran is a 3.5-point underdog at New Orleans. Jason, who you got?
I've got the Saints. The 3 and the hook doesn't scare me. Sure, it's a possibility that the Saints will win by 3. It could happen. I actually see the Saints winning this one fairly handily. I think they'll dominate San Francisco here. San Francisco's got some problems with their offense. I think we've talked about this in the past, that the running quarterbacks from last year are really struggling. Their progression is first receiver, holy shit, run the ball. And after the Packers allowed everybody in the nation to see that Kaepernick really wanted to throw the ball to Anquan Boldin, people have locked that down, which basically leaves him just Vernon Davis. Not a whole lot else. I know Mario Manningham is working his way back into the mix. But Mario Manningham, other than that, you know, tippy-toe catch he made in the Super Bowl against New England when he was with the Giants, he's not a marquee name. He's not going to make your team, especially your team's passing game, scare anybody. And if that's the best that you can trot out there, you've got some issues. The issue is San Francisco, they need to outscore the Saints in the dome. I just don't think they have the capacity to do that. New Orleans, you know, Dallas, well, of course, Dallas was missing the great Sean Lee last week. So, of course, the Saints just ripped him up. Yes, San Francisco has a better defense than Dallas does. But Drew Brees is playing on a whole different level, and he did that last week too. I know they lost to the Jets a few weeks ago. I was at the Jets. Was a pretty tight game. I think the Jets were really up for that one. And the Saints just had a bad game. Everybody has a bad day. Well, very few teams go 16-0. So everybody is going to hang a loss somewhere. Very few teams lose every game. So, you know, of course, Jacksonville that got one. And I don't see San Francisco springing anything on the Saints here. So I do like the Saints, and I like them fairly easy. If I had to predict a score, I would say something like 31-20, something along those lines. I'm not even sure if San Francisco can get to 20 because their offense doesn't do much for me.
Well, there's a couple of differences between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. You talked about how much better San Fran's defense is than Dallas. I don't think either one of us are trying to say, obviously not you, that San Fran is going to go in there and smother Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints offense. But, yes, San Fran is much better on defense, should provide a much stiffer challenge for the Saints. And also, the Saints put that game away after Brees had finished throwing with a whole lot of running up and down all over the Cowboys. And I don't think the 49ers and Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis are going to stand for that either. I think Mark Ingram will not be doing a whole lot of celebrating and getting up and screaming and yelling as if he's the king of the world after a bunch of 10-yard gains. I don't see that happening at all. I see this as a very close game. As I told you, Jason, there, out of these games that were left over after the Thursday night game that left 13 games on the docket, and like 10 of them, I knew who I wanted, like as early as Tuesday or Wednesday. This was one of the ones where I struggled all week and finally made my decision today. I was waiting to see, honestly, this is exactly what it came down to. I was waiting to see if Vernon Davis would be cleared to play. He's gone through concussion protocols, and everything looks like he's going to play. Everything's trending like he's going to play. All of his tests are being passed. Of course, there's the very last test, you know, right before the game, before he can actually be completely cleared to play, but everything looks like he's going to go. And if Vernon Davis wasn't going to go, I think I would take New Orleans to blow out San Francisco. But only because Vernon Davis is going to play do I have San Fran to cover the number and maybe lose the game by three. This just feels like a field goal victory to me. I'll take that hook gladly. As you said, the San Fran passing game is so, you know, inconsistent, lackluster. Michael Crabtree still isn't back yet. He might have even made a difference to where maybe I might think to pick San Francisco to win if he were out there. But if Vernon Davis is out there, that's their best receiver right now. That should be something to help Colin Kaepernick get open up the run game, kind of working in reverse where the pass is setting up the run. I think the pass early on might set up Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter and Colin Kaepernick to have a big day on the ground against, of course, I think, a very bad New Orleans rush defense. They're still giving up 5 yards per run on the ground. So that's how I see that one turning out. But I got this as close, just about as close as you can get. A one-point win wouldn't surprise me either, but either way, that three and a hook, that hook definitely scares me. So I'm going to go ahead and take the 49ers. Moving on to the primetime matchups, and, of course, Sunday night, it's the game of the century. We have these every so often where it's very late in the year and two teams that are undefeated or have only one loss butt heads, and the hype machine just blows up. It's off the meter. Kansas City and Denver, the AFC West, the 9-0 Chiefs, the 8-1 Broncos, Chiefs undefeated on the road, undefeated completely on the year, of course. Chiefs 4-0 on the road. Denver undefeated at home at 5-0. Something's got to give one way or another. And this is how much the betting public believes in the Kansas City Chiefs. They are a 7.5-point dog at Denver. If you want Kansas City, if you want the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, you can get them. And we'll give you 7.5 points on top of that. Just here, take them. Because you're facing Peyton Manning. And I still think it's not enough. I'm taking the Denver Broncos to win and cover 7.5. Dwayne Bowe hasn't toked up enough marijuana to get himself hyped up and ready for this game. He tried, but I don't think he got high enough yet. All of Kansas City's imperfections have been out there for everybody to see against all of these lackluster opponents that they've played over the course of the season. We know they haven't beaten anybody. You can go down the schedule and look at their competition, and you can see that this is by far the best team that they're going to play. And it just seems like a class mismatch. It just seems like Kansas City is going to be in over their heads. I can see Denver coming out early and Peyton Manning establishing, you know, here's how hurt my ankle is. I'll throw, you know, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter and show you just how hurt I am just to show everybody that it's not a big deal. There was so much made in the media this week over Peyton Manning's ankles and the state of his ankles and the fact that he wasn't practicing on several days. It's Peyton Manning. He's going to be up for this game. He's going to be ready. There's no doubt in anybody's mind he's going to be ready. And the hype machine also on that same level tried to paint Kansas City as a worthy opponent all week. I heard some misrepresentations in certain places about this being a number one offense versus a number one defense type of clash, and that's false. That's only half right. Denver is indeed the number one offense in the NFL by yards and also by points. At least points, yards per game, because Philadelphia actually has more yards by like 3, but they haven't had their bye yet. Kansas City is not the number one defense in the league, folks. Don't let the hype fool you. That's the number 8 defense in the league, and it's the number 24 rush defense by yards per game. They're giving up 5 yards per carry, just like New Orleans. Don't let the hype fool you. Kansas City is not very good. I haven't thought that all year. Jason, I think, has expressed similar feelings about the Kansas City Chiefs all season, but I'll let him speak for himself. But as far as me, Denver squish. Denver all the way. I knew this from the beginning of the week. I'm rolling with the Broncos.
Yeah, I think for maybe a minute or two all week, I was like, well, maybe I could see myself taking the Chiefs, but no, I really can't. A few things here. One, I think it's actually good for the Broncos that they've lost a game already. You know, Peyton Manning went. They had that bad game at the Colts. Of course, very highly emotional game for Peyton Manning, and that wasn't their best effort. But if these were two undefeated teams on prime time, I think it might have been a little bit more pressure on the Broncos against the Chiefs. But they've lost their game already. They're ready for these guys. All week two, I know the hype machine is in overdrive. A lot of this is focused on strength. This is the best offense in the league against the best defense in the league, which it's not. It's a good defense, but it's not a great defense. But, well, okay, if it's best on best, and let's just say that's a wash, well, let's look at the weaknesses of these teams. Let's look at the Denver defense and the Kansas City offense. Well, Kansas City offense isn't that good. It's efficient, which is any Alex Smith offense will be that. It will be good enough to hang in there. You know, you have some nice players around him. You know, Jamal Charles is a nice player. Dwayne Bowe, who's underused on that team, is a good player. Trying to think of the – we're both a little tired tonight. I'm trying to think of the kid. The kick returner, he's a receiver. I almost called him
Dexter
Andrew
McCutcheon.
Dexter McCluster. I almost called him Andrew McCutcheon. I had a rough night last night. And I was not drinking. It was a little baby girl kept me up most of last night. So nice players. They have good skill position players and a very efficient quarterback. This is the kind of game, though, that you need more than just an efficient quarterback. You need Andrew Luck. You need a stud. You know, you need Tom Brady. You need the guy who's going to go out there and slay the dragon and be the star. And Kansas City doesn't have those guys. They're a nice little team. They're going to get their playoff spot, and they're going to go home. And maybe they'll win this division. I doubt it, because I don't think they're going to get either one of these two games in the next 3 weeks against the Broncos. Could happen. They could spring up one, maybe spring a trap on them in Kansas City. You never know. But this one just feels like it's going to be all Denver, all day, and a little bit of, welcome to playing the big boys to Kansas City, because they have had an incredible string of luck. They've played quarterbacks this year. They've won some tight games against some bad teams, but they do just keep winning. This feels like a 20-plus point win for Denver. I don't think it's going to be that compelling of a game. But we get Al Michaels and Collinsworth and Peyton Manning, so you know what that means. They will be assuming
the
position. That's right.
And Monday night will be Tom Brady, who is used to being slurped on. So, but he'll be in an underdog position, which is interesting. Carolina, who believes in the Panthers? Who believes in the Chiefs? Well, the public believes a little more in the Panthers, because Carolina, coming off their big test against San Francisco and escaping from there with a victory, 6-3 Carolina is a 3-point home favorite. Carolina giving 3 against terrific Tom and the 7-2 Patriots. Jason, what's your pick?
No, I've got the Patriots here. This almost feels to me like a gift pick. Carolina had not beaten San Francisco last week. This is not New England +3. This is a pick'em, or New England is a road favorite this week. I love the Patriots here. Again, I don't think Carolina's going to step up in class 2 weeks in a row. Yes, they have a nice defense. One of the better, may even have a better defense than the Chiefs. They have a very good defense. I don't know the stats like you know them, but it's a good team. They've beaten some bad teams. They went out to San Francisco and beat a team that's clearly flawed. I think they caught San Francisco at just the right time. Patriots are just, they get it done. They are a machine, and Carolina's going to find out what it's like to play a team like that, a team that just does not stop. They're like the Terminator. Like, you know, they just keep going and going, and you cannot kill it, and you cannot stop them, and they will get you. That's it. That's all the Patriots do. No matter when you think they're down, no matter how bad the receivers are, they just don't quit. Unlike a lot of other teams, Falcons, they just don't quit. So I love New England here.
The Terminators, we get another 80s reference in there. I'll be back. You requested the stats, so here we go. New England has been struggling against the run ever since Vince Wilfork went down. They're actually 30th in the league against the run in yards per game. They're giving up 4.3 yards per carry, and I actually think Carolina's going to gash him on the ground in this game. Passing defense a little better, 12th in the league against the pass, only giving up 6.7 yards per pass attempt. And I think that's going to be the key in the game. I'm taking New England with you. I'm taking them to win. And I think it's because, in the end, Tom Brady has got a lot more experience on this Monday night stage, on this primetime stage, of putting together the big drive at the end of the game to win, to get the win. I'm definitely trusting him over Cam Newton. I'm definitely trusting New England as a team coming off a bye. I'm definitely trusting the Patriots just overall, just a better pedigree. Cam Newton's been great. Give him all the credit. The Carolina defense has been awesome. Give them the credit. But I'm just going to trust New England more in this spot. It's not a slam dunk pick. I struggle with this pick all week as well. But it should be very compelling to watch. The style, I love when it's a style clash like that with New England and their high-octane, no-huddle offense having to go against Carolina and their smash-mouth defense that's come on this year. I love confrontations like that, but I just think New England is the team to trust in this situation. We now move on to the rest of Week 11's picks in even more, less detail.
Well, the Cleveland Browns are a 5.5-point road dog at the Cincinnati Bengals, and what we know is going to be now a weather game, a lot of weather games tomorrow to watch for. Andre trusts that Cincinnati ground game with Bernard and the law firm much more than he does Cleveland's offense to put up the points to win the game. I'll take the opposite angle on that. I have the Browns, because it's a bad weather game, and in the slot, all you need to do is have a crazy fumble or a fluttering ball up in the air for a pick. You do tend to have some crazy bounces. I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to get cute. Browns to lose by less than 5.5.
Jets and Bills, what looks like another bad weather game out there on the East Coast. New York Jets, a 1-point road favorite at Buffalo. We both take the Jets. Jason just cannot trust E.J. Manuel in Buffalo after they let him down last week. Jets will be up for it this week. Bills really struggled, and I completely concur with that. Santonio Holmes be back in the saddle for the Jets as far as receivers goes, and that really helps them because of the Bills receiver situation. No Stevie Johnson, no Robert Woods. I'm sorry, no chance for Bills.
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are still winless at home this year. They are a 4.5-point favorite against the visiting Washington Redskins. Andre, of course, going with the Redskins because the Philadelphia Eagles are winless at home. I like the Eagles and that new explosive Nick Foles-led offense, LeSean McCoy, too much. I say that the Eagles win big and get that first win of the year at the Link.
Another bad weather game in the Windy City where Baltimore is +3 at Chicago. And Jason's going with the Bears. Does not trust the Baltimore Ravens. They jumped on Cincinnati last week, but Cincinnati's been terrible, so what does that say? Jason's going to go with trust and trust. He's going to trust Mark Trestman and Josh McCown to get it together. McCown's been serviceable all year, although Jason says it might smell a little pushy, that 3-point spread in the bad weather. He could see a push. I understand that, but I'm going to go with Baltimore. This is a game where Ray Rice better wake up. If you can't run on the Bears' run defense as bad as they've been, you can't run on anybody. You should just retire if he doesn't run for $1.50 in this ball game. I'll trust the Baltimore Ravens to get it done.
Now, we both like the Detroit Lions as a 1-point favorite at Pittsburgh this week for one reason and one reason alone. Detroit's just a better team. That's all there is. They got that lead in the division. Now they got to run with it. Let's see what they're all about. They go out, they shit the bed tomorrow at Pittsburgh. It just opens things up again in that division. So I think Detroit's going to get it done.
Sometimes it's just that simple, just like with Arizona and Jacksonville. Jacksonville got their one. Jason says now they're done. Arizona gives 9.5 down in Jacksonville. It's not enough. We both love the Cardinals, and that's about all you need to know about that one.
Well, we both also like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, again, as a one-point home favorite against the no-respect, no-guts Atlanta Falcons. Yep, I'm hating on the Falcons. They're letting me down. No reason on earth right now to pick that team. It is a train wreck.
Oakland's giving 10 points at Houston, and that might seem like a humongous spread for the 2-7 Texans. Oakland's getting 10 at Houston. And why would Houston be that big of a favorite? Well, if you haven't heard, Terrell Pryor won't even be playing for Oakland tomorrow. It's going to be somebody named Matt McGloin starting at quarterback. Jason's going to go with Mr. McGloin and take the Oakland Raiders because there's no reason to take the Houston Texans giving 10 points. He broke into a little Jim Mora. I don't care who you play. He's not giving Houston minus 10. I will give Houston minus 10 because I don't care who Matt McGloin plays. I'm not picking Matt McGloin. I saw him at Penn State. He sucks really bad. I'll take Houston squish.
Well, I like the Miami Dolphins as a one-point home favorite to bounce back and get a little bit of this going incognito thing behind them. Hosting the San Diego Superchargers, Andre, a lot of no reason to pick anybody is the theme this week, and Andre has no reason to pick the Miami Dolphins. Their offensive line at some point will break down, and it will be jailbreak city on Ryan Tannehill, which I would assume is going to cause a horrible change of field position or a sack strip or just something awful is going to happen to Ryan Tannehill or that Miami run game because that offensive line is terrible. I think they get it done this week. Don't like San Diego going to the East Coast. I will take Miami in a close one.
Minnesota Vikings are plus 12 at Seattle. We know how great Seattle is at home. We know how bad Minnesota has been overall this year. And we're going to go ahead and give those 12 points and take the Seahawks. Even though Adrian Peterson running against the Seattle D should be a good physical bruising matchup, Seattle's just got the much better talent overall, so we got to go ahead and take the Seahawks. Jason says Seattle got right last week against that bum team Atlanta Falcons, and he thinks they're going to build on that and keep the momentum going. And we are both ready to see Percy Harvin return to the field for the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow, and he gets to do it against his old team, the Minnesota Vikings, and we both think Mr. Harvin has got some tricks in store for the Vikings.
Well, the New York Giants are a four-point home favorite against the Green Bay Packers this week. And, of course, Andre has no reason to pick the Packers and Scott Tolzien, so he has the Giants. I actually watched that game last week. I was one of the few. I had to sit through that whole thing after Seneca Wallace went out. But Tolzien, after throwing a horrible pick on the goal line, managed to settle down and do pretty decent the rest of the way. And I love this newfound Green Bay run game. I think they actually run to victory tomorrow in a close one. They're going to have to earn this one, but the Giants are so bad. I know these are my Super Bowl Giants. And for my storyline, I would love the Giants to win to just keep the dream alive. But I'd like the Packers to spring one on the Giants here. They are, other than that quarterback position, a far superior team.
We are out of time on the live show. That's our picks for week 11. We differ on 7 of them, so it should be another fun week as we do battle, as I keep trying to catch Jason in the standings. For you live listeners, we are going to continue a little bit after the other side of this music. And if you want to listen to the podcast version, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast, or you can go to the archive on our blog, on our show page where you're listening right now, which is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. You can listen to any old show on that page. Give the rest of the credits on the other side of this music. I'm Dre, he's Jay. Thanks for listening in to Know Your Football. So proud. I actually got the music in before the 30 minutes ran out. It actually sounded like a real show.
Yeah, and I think we found the key to doing the show. We should just do it really tired every week because we really didn't screw anything up.
Actually, how that works is I probably screwed a lot of things up, but I won't discover them until tomorrow after I go to sleep and wake back up.
Well, the only thing is I had requested to know what Carolina's defensive rankings were, and you gave me New England's. But that's okay.
See, I told you. Screwed something
well,
up there.
Really
that's
okay. You get, and then you told me about New England's defense, and that's why you had New England. But it doesn't. We agreed on the game, so that's okay. You missed your stat. So, Andre, what are Carolina's defensive stats this year?
I'm going to have to go back and listen. I swear I thought you were talking about New England. Yeah, Carolina's a damn good defense. Carolina is second in the league in rush defense yards per game. They're only giving up 3.8 yards per carry. They're tied for fourth in the league in pass defense yards per game, and they're only giving up 6.6 yards per pass attempt. Carolina
That's
is damn good as a defense. Yeah.
See, if we had editing tools, we could just have cut that portion out there and just put it right over what you had said about the New England defense.
Jeez, I completely flubbed that. I had no idea.
The point I was trying to make was that the Carolina defense was better than the Kansas City defense, but I had no stats to back me up. And then you gave me the defense. But that's cool. That was informative. All those stats is just awesome.
Yeah. All those stats would have gotten me to a 68-76 record this year, so that shows how well they're working for me.
Well, I have I use no stats.
It puts you at 75-69, so that's the method I clearly should be taking.
At least I'm not 31 games under 500 like our buddy over at Yahoo.
Like probably certain blog editors at Yahoo, yes.
Certain blog writer over at Yahoo who has a record that we would probably quit doing this if we had that record consistently. He's below the Mariotti line. We have 395 win percentage.
Oh, just awful.
That's even picking games after the fact, too.
Yes, that counts the Thursday night game on Halloween that he picked, but he didn't put on the blog because he was trick-or-treating, so he put it up Friday morning.
Okay, I'm done piling on that guy. Anything else? Anything we missed? Anything that's jumping out this week? Any of the non-highlight games jumping out at you this week that you have any remote interest in?
Real quick, out of sequence, before I forget, I did say I was going to finish the credits on the other side just for anybody that is tuning into the podcast part.
Yes, make it legal.
This broadcast is copyrighted, that's right. Our picks are up on the blog as we speak, which would be in much less detail. blogspot.com is where you go to find that. We're on Twitter. I'm at IMLDDre, and Jason's at IMLDJTG. And if you want to call in next Wednesday when we do our next show at 10 o'clock Central Time live, we'd love to get feedback on recapping the games that play tomorrow or Monday night or any other football topic or, hell, anything you want to talk about in general in the world. The guest line for that would be 646-595-4534, and I have to remember to give that out on Wednesday night, which is when the actual live show is happening, because that's a better time to give it out instead of doing it now when we're off the air. Anyway.
Here's the thing, we know people listen to the show because we can track it. We don't know who they are, but we do know we have listens, so people do listen to the show. And we do know we have readers of our blog because our blog goes up. The counter goes up. It goes up slowly, but it does go up. So there are people out there. Anybody, We'd love some feedback, even if it's bad feedback, even if we're just awful, even if you just listen to our show or read our blog because we're just hilariously awful and you just laugh at us, not with us.
We love each and every one of our listeners, even though we have no idea who the hell you are. So you were asking about what's interesting this week. What's really interesting this week for me is just how much confidence I have in all of my picks this week. Like I said, there's like three games where I kind of waffled on and went all the way to today figuring out who I wanted. The other 10, I know exactly who I wanted from beginning of the week. Like you said, all those picks where I said there's no reason to take such and such team. excuse me. I get like that sometimes where something just appears to me, okay, this team for this reason doesn't ever need to be picked, and until they show me a reason to, I'm not going to pick them. Atlanta is a dog. I'm not picking them until I see evidence that they're not a dog. Philly is a dog at home. Something about that hometown crowd makes them freeze up under the pressure. I'm not picking Philly at home until I get a reason to. Miami is a complete shit organization from the owner on the way on down. I'm not picking Miami until I see any reason to. So there's some issues there. And then the backup quarterback thing, that's usually an easy one for me. I'm not picking Mac McGloin, and I'm not picking Scott Tolzien until they show me a reason where I should have any confidence in them whatsoever. And then that, all of that is not counting Arizona over Jacksonville, which would be my lock of the week because Jacksonville won their Super Bowl last week, and they're going to go back to being the Jaguars this week. At least I believe they will.
Well, this should all add up to the fact that, see, what the thing that really needs to be pointed out, and it's sort of the underlying thing here, and I know you didn't mention it, but I can kind of hear it in your tone, is that when you're this sure, you're scared. Because
I'm scared shitless.
It's never a good thing when you are just this sure. Your locks of the week have not been coming through for you. You told me that last week you would have lost your top four, and in any confidence pool, you would have just automatically lost your top four picks. So seeing that you're this confident and we disagree on seven makes me feel more confident. I feel great now. I did not like this week at all, but the higher your confidence level is about a week, the higher mine goes up because it's like, if Andre is this sure about stuff, this is good for me.
Yeah, folks, if you're counting on my confidence to inform your decisions on who you want to pick tomorrow, keep in mind that last week I would have told you to put all your money on a parlay on San Francisco, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Cincinnati, and that worked out for me about as well as oh, I don't even want to go there. I have some really tasteless directions I could go with that, but I'm going to leave them all alone right now.
You need to work up a little karma after that show a couple of shows ago after the Dolphins themed show that we had with some of those quotes. I think we have to clean up the show here for a couple of weeks before we go down that path again.
Yeah. I wanted to spend the 15 minutes talking about our little abbreviated football careers back in high school because I was building off of that Miami story.
Street ball.
Uh-huh.
That's how
talking
you end up
about
with
our
knees and sore arms and yeah,
and bad backs and everything else.
You got it. Pads. Yeah.
Talking about the fact that neither one of us have ever been in a locker room situation. We never played any organized sports. I actually tried to. I right before freshman year began at Whitney Young High School, Go Dolphins. I walked my ass out there to the football field, and I actually tried to go through a practice with the team, and this worked out about as bad as you could possibly imagine. First of all, I was up all night the night before having fun with some family friends. It was a rare situation to go to some friend's house and play some board games, and it was completely spontaneous. I didn't know what was going to happen that night, and I made the decision to go, and so I was very tired. I was in jorts. I was in cutoff jean shorts. I had no workout equipment at all because I wasn't smart enough to think that I needed something actually flexible to do this in. And they ran me ragged. They had me doing drills where they're just – the coach has the ball in his hand and he's going left, 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 right, 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 and you have to follow it along like a dog. And apparently I wasn't doing it well enough because I remember still to this day that I was the last guy left in that drill. Everyone else had been dispatched down to something else, and they still had me going left, 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 right, right, right. And I'm like, really? I'm that bad at this? I didn't think I was. And then everything else that we did, the ending part of the day was just gassers, just – sprint the length of the field and walk back and do it again. I walked the whole time. I didn't sprint shit. I was so out of it. All I could do was walk. My legs would not make me run. I was tired. I couldn't do anything. And that's the day that I decided that organized sports and football, that's not for me. I was so tired, Jason. I fell asleep at the bus stop. It's bright daylight. It's 2 in the afternoon. And I just completely dropped and nodded off sitting under a lamppost waiting for the bus to come pick me up so I could go home. I have no wind for organized sports, and that's why I wound up on the pickup field with you and the rest of the guys.
Well, and we had some great fun doing that. We'd even pick up some of the actual football players who'd play in the games with us. We had a regular thing going. I mean, it was a big deal. Friday after school, or every Friday, we were out there. You know, some weeks it'd be 7-on-7, some weeks it'd be 5-on-5. Sometimes we'd have people on the sidelines because we had enough people out there that you could field two full teams. I mean, it was a blast, but the whole, if you haven't been in the locker room, you don't understand. Well, it's the same thing like what we're doing picking the games. What? Well, because we're not, you know, I can see what's going on. I don't have to have stunning insights. I don't have to be, you know, Adam Schefter or Chris Mortensen. I don't have to have coaches and players on speed dial to make an informed decision about what my eyes are telling me. Or knowing things about, like, simple human decency. Like, oh, you're not in the locker room, so you don't understand. No, I understand. You don't want to be a secret racist. You don't want to be insensitive. You don't want to say horrible, rude things. That shouldn't apply no matter what you're in. It's your job. You know, I can't go to my job. Oh, yeah, you know, you're not in sales, so you don't understand that I can just drop, you know, N-bombs and F-bombs and say horrible things about people's sisters and families. You just don't get it. That's just the culture. It's a horrible argument.
This is where we come from, man. And one more thing about Mr. Incognito. The fact that he cited other black guys in the locker room giving him the permission to use those kind of terms and treat people like that because, hey, I'm an honorary black. They let me in. They said it's okay. These guys over here, therefore it must be okay. Dude, really? You're going to take a handful of black guys who said that it's okay and make that okay for you to say to Jonathan Martin, who I'm guessing didn't have a vote in that black guy click in the locker room. I don't think Jonathan Martin was part of the group that said it was okay to call him the N-word. I don't think he had a vote in that situation, and that's part of what made me so angry about it.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. It's starting to go away, though. This is what the NFL wants. This thing is starting to quiet down a little bit. They just want to get back to football and sweep this under the rug, create the new... You know, in this 24-hour news cycle, you always have to create something. So, but no, we'll definitely be talking a lot more about our football days and our escapades when we have these after show VIP after shows, and especially during the off season. There's some stories. There's definitely some stories.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That'll all do it, huh? I think we're done. Let's not get cut off hard this time.
Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 on the East Coast. We'll be back to recap NFL Week 11 and shoot the shit about some other stuff and who knows what we'll talk about. And like I said, if you want to call in and participate, you're more than welcome. I'm Dre, he's Jay. This is In Much Less Detail, the podcast. We'll see you Wednesday night.